This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Alrighty, are we live? Yes, we are. Tonight's episode is entitled Why I Hate Podcasts. And I don't, but there's somebody who's Mr. Color Up who does, and he's going to try to... What's that?
Podcast.
We're talking podcast.
Why I hate cum bets.
Oh, cum bets. Yeah, why he hates cum bets. But let's why make it happen both right hate now. Yeah, we
welcome to the Color Up Podcast. Whether you're a seasoned player or a beginner eager to step up to the table, this is your lucky podcast that's all about the thrill and strategy of the casino world. I'm your host, Jeremy. With me is Jim the Professor. Let's get rolling.
You just had a mental you had a mental aversion there. There was no way in your mind you could say I hate cum bets.
I can't even say it. I love cum bets.
Yeah, you just immediately switched it and put it on the podcast. Said I hate podcasts, and that's fine, Jim. You know, I understand hating podcasts, but
nobody's perfect.
No, that was funny. You just could not say the words. You could not say the words.
But tonight's episode is entitled Why I Hate Cum Bets. And there is a person in this podcast, one person who does hate cum bets.
That's not true. Well, I don't want to give it away.
Well, yeah. But I mean,
I'll keep up the facade that, yes, facade, I will plant my flag that I hate cum bets.
There you go.
And we'll get to talk about it before we do.
And I will vigorously defend.
Yeah, we'll see if you got some defense for it. So,
okay.
Well, how was your week?
Wonderful. We got Thanksgiving next week. There's only 2 days of school, and it was a great week, and it got a lot of stuff done. Anyway, I'm just excited. We're racing toward the holidays, and as the song says, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, for a lot of because so many times, so much days. So, do you work between Thanksgiving and Christmas, or is it called winter break, or how?
No. We're not that cool in the public school system. We can't take off the whole thing, so we'll go back to school in right after Thanksgiving break that Monday, and we will go. We'll have 2 full weeks off during Christmas this year, so that'd be really nice. The calendar worked out just perfectly.
So last night, I just got back from Las Vegas. I don't know if you knew that. I made a quick little trip.
No, I did not know that.
It lined up with the Formula One races, but that's not necessarily why I was there. I had I had some family there, and he actually had a balcony room on the Cosmo. So although I didn't stay for the race itself, for qualifying and stuff, I did see the cars
zipping on by
and practicing and that sort of thing, which was very cool. And, all around town is kind of, there's stuff going on. And then as a bonus, well, let me back up. I should say my primary objective was to visit my wife, who happened to be laying over for her work. So she's a flight attendant. She came into Vegas and was staying the night. So I got to meet up with her, and it's our anniversary. It was an anniversary. So that I should have said that first. I went to see her first, and secondarily was F1 in my
especially my family. She's listening tonight.
Yeah, well, I think she's currently in the air, but she may catch me and say, "What the heck?" But so it was nice. At least I got to have breakfast with her and hang out a little bit before she flew off to another city. And then
How was the traffic and all that stuff? Last year there was a lot of controversy with the traffic and getting around, and people couldn't get to work and stuff. What do you think?
Not really an issue, but I kind of avoided it on purpose. For instance, like when I landed, I took a Uber to MGM, which is not quite the racetrack, and then I just took the trolley up to Sahara when I needed to go up there. or, you know, at the, you know, kind of walk down at the southern end.
Okay.
So yeah, it really wasn't too much of an issue. And then when I flew out the day of the race, the airport was like a ghost town. Just, you know, cause everyone's staying for the race. No one. Yeah. Right. I'm going the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that was nice. Had the Southwest plane to myself. I think there was like 100 and some open seats. And
so you flew that short flight from Vegas to Reno.
Yeah. It takes about an hour. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there we did the go-kart racing, which is really fun.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we did a little racing myself, I guess it was F1 inspired, and
that's great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's one of the things I've thought about for DiceCon, to add a thing. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I could just offer it as, hey, you know, this is a thing that we can do. Yeah, it's kind of expensive, right? You know, like $100 for three quick races. But, you know, for those who might be interested, it's a lot of fun, really. And so anyway,
how fast do you think you were going in the thing?
They said they were like 40 miles per hour or something like that. Oh. I mean, they're quick little guys. I think they have them ratcheted down. I think they go quite a bit faster, but
a little governor on them.
Yeah, a little governor.
Slow.
Yeah. And then it was, you know, you had the exotic cars racing next to us, squealing their tires, and it was pretty cool. It's a whole big setup there. It's pretty cool.
It's awesome.
As far as gambling, I didn't play any dice.
None?
No dice. Which I wouldn't play it on the strip anyway. I would go either downtown or off strip to get better pay rate tables. Okay. Otherwise, I'd just play here in Reno. See, it's tricky because I have access to it all the time. I don't need to play
right,
in Vegas. So.
Right, right.
I ended up playing mostly slots, and we were filming slots for my kind of my on and on and on again, off again slot channel, Color Up Slots. Okay. So I think we're going to, we filmed a concept video, me and my brother, like a two-man slot competition, and we're going to try to package that up and sell it and maybe get some sponsorship and kind of get the slot channel going again.
And speaking of sponsorship, don't forget, we are powered by SportsGrid.
Not sponsored, but powered by
SportsGrid.
Yeah, big difference, but yeah, working with them to try to get some sponsors for the show. Slots is for suckers. Thank you, Jamie. Hey, yeah, but some people love them. But some of there are bets on the craps table that are worse than slots, but so I'm not going to degrade my slot people out there too much, and it's just not the game for me, but we're dice players here.
That's right.
So enough of the yammering, unless you have any more questions.
No. Let's get to it.
And let's get to what, Jim? Why, well, what?
Well, the tonight's episode, I'm going to say it again, but this is not me saying it. This
why
is
do
Jeremy's
you got a preference?
Word.
Just preference. Say it, Jim. I want to hear you.
Why
I want it to come out of your mouth.
Hate combats.
There you go. I just wanted to hear you say it. I know it's
you
difficult
bullied me
for
into
you.
It.
So, I guess the main comparison between a combat is with a place bet. So, I guess we should start by defining those two bets. If you're a player, you know what they are, but you know, we got some maybe beginners or listeners out there, and it's always a good refresher. So, do you want to start with one or the other? Do you want me to explain? Do you want to pick it up and
well, we can. So let's just start with the combat, okay? And there's some people who say they never play the line unless they're the shooter and they have to do it. But the combat, for those who are new, is just like the pass line bet. It's just starting again. But on the first roll, 7 or 11, you win. 2, 3, or 12, you lose. Boom. It's a 2-to-1 favorite, Jeremy.
Yeah, huge.
Huge favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of any other bet that's on the craps table that that gives the player any opportunity at a 2-to-1 bet? I can't think of any.
Lay
right?
bet on the 4 and 10. You're
are you a 2-to-1 favorite?
You're a 2-to-1 favorite.
Okay.
And then if I've been posting on YouTube, Crapless Craps. If you can lay bet the 3 and 11, 2 and 12, then you're either a 3-to-1 or 6-to-1 favorite.
Okay,
you do have to pay a VIG, but you are as far
and
as
you can lay on those craps tables.
Some of them, Most you cannot, but there are some crapless craps tables that allow you. But on the standard table, yeah, I would say
four to 10.
Yeah. Anytime you're betting with the seven, essentially you would have a dice combo advantage. So
okay,
I'd say a lay bet on the 4 and 10, you're a 2-to-1 favorite.
I mean, all right. So really tonight's episode should be called Why I Hate Come Bets and Why I Hate Don't Come Bets, apparently, all of a sudden. So you threw a curveball.
Yeah, we won't get into that too much. Right, but yeah, the huge benefit. Love the pass line come bet. Your very first roll, for one roll only. Well, the very first roll, you are the big 2-to-1 favorite. Continue.
All right. So 2-to-1 favorite. Then after that, if it's any other number, a box number, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, or 10, the puck goes up there, and then you become just like everybody else, wanting to get that number up there to repeat. And if you're on the pass line, that number repeats, comes up again before Big Red, then you win even money on your money on the pass line, and then you win the true odds with no juice, no squeeze, no vig, no nothing, right there, and you get paid right there on the table.
Yeah, that's the huge part of it. Because I mentioned lay bets, but you have to pay a 5% vig. So you're favored 2-to-1, but you don't get paid favored. Whereas with a pass line or combat, since we might use that interchangeably.
Okay.
Because they're the same bet, just one is when the puck's on, one's when the off. But yeah, no vig. So amazing bet. You can't find a better one in the casino. Because it pays true, fair chance of it rolling with no vig.
All right. So why isn't everybody in the world doing like the professor here and playing
well, good
the
question.
All the time?
So let's describe what it's competitor, maybe. I don't know. I use them in tandem a lot, actually. But the big people are usually, I'm a come better or I'm a place better. So a place better is a place you make your bet directly on a number. So with a come bet or pass line, the dice determine what you're going to bet on. So you don't get to pick. With a place bet, you get to pick. So you say, I want to bet a 9. I want to bet a 6. I want to bet a 4. You pick, put your money on it. And if it rolls before the 7, you win. So it's simple. It's a little simpler. It's not... I call the pass line and come bet it like a 2-stage bet. There's 2 stages to it. You know, the come out roll where you described, and then the point roll. So once it's in stage 2, it essentially works like a place bet. Either you're going to win or lose. If it rolls, you win. If the 7 rolls, you lose. So that's kind of, did I leave out anything about a place bet?
Not to feed the prosecution side, but you have another advantage with your different kind of place bet is that you can
buy bet.
No, you can cut it off and on.
Oh,
mine's always in play.
Yeah. Well, just we like haven't got to the advantages and disadvantages yet. So we haven't broke those down completely.
Okay.
But I don't know how much I want to talk about a buy bet, but a buy bet is very similar to a place bet, except for there are certain situations. Well, the 4 and 10, you always want to buy them. Because
6 and 8 never, right?
6 and 8 never. 5 and 9 only if the vig is if you win. If you have to pay the vig up front, don't make a buy bet on the 5 and 9. I know there are places like Biloxi and whatever, but it's essentially the same thing. You're still picking a number. Buy bets just pay better. So in certain cases, a buy bet makes more sense than a place bet, but they're essentially the same thing. There's just different in payoffs.
Okay.
So with more knowledge, you would know when and how buy bets work, but we're not going to talk about
today.
Yeah.
Forget about the buy.
Yeah. Not today. Another podcast maybe.
Okay.
So, you mentioned let's get into some of the advantages of you want to go place bet or come bet first. Or do you want to just kind of do it how you were like,
we can go tit for tat or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me.
We'll feel it out. Well, tell me some of the advantages of the come bet, and I may interrupt you and tell you why I think that's a disadvantage, but we'll see how this works out.
So one of the easy advantages for me is I don't have to think about where my money's going because I let the dice determine where my money goes. It could go, if I get an 11, it's going to my rack maybe, or maybe going for odds. If it's a 2, 3, or 12, I say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
But on that first, you know, roll until the point's established. Another advantage to it is ease of mind. I don't have to think. It's just you let the dice decide.
Mm-hmm.
What else can I think?
And for me, I would say that's a disadvantage because the dice don't know any better than me. Why would I let the dice decide? I want to pick what number I want to bet on because mm-hmm. I have a feeling or I know what's going to come up. And I know a 6 or 8 is going to come up more often. So maybe I would prefer to pick. If you would like, anywhere where your come bet would travel, what number would you pick?
To me, Jeremy, I don't care.
You don't care.
But,
don't care.
But.
That's fair. That's a good answer.
But as long as it's not a 2, 3, or 12.
Yeah.
So I don't care.
We'll not talk about crapless craps. Right. Yeah. That's a whole different game. And if you wouldn't, you wouldn't want to be a come better on a crapless craps table. Half of the argument goes out the window.
It hurts.
The house to edge goes up over 5%. Yes, there's a lot of reasons you wouldn't want to be a come bet player.
Yeah.
Necessarily, but yeah, so that's a fair answer. You don't care where it goes because again, wherever it goes, you're going to get paid true odds of what it goes to and if it hits or not.
If it hits.
Yeah.
If it hits.
Yeah.
Another advantage I think that's there is it not only do when I'm, you know, cause that 11, that yo 11 gives me another one shot as it's, you know, going up, how, you know, it's one out of the 32.
One out of
18,
yeah.
So one out of 18. So
33% of the time, the game is resolved on that on the come out roll. So 33% of the time, you're going to win or lose
mm-hmm.
just right out the gate.
Right.
So, so 33% of the time, you're a 2-1 favorite and the game's going to be over right then and there. So that's a significant part of the game.
It's hard to believe they'll let me do that.
Yeah. But the bad part is, I think you kind of alluded to this.
There are some bad parts, but I'll let you, since you're Mr. Color Up.
Well,
I don't want to rip the scab off my own wound.
So your come bet goes up.
Yes.
And if you don't like the number, can you turn it off or move it or anything like that?
No, it stays, Jeremy. It stays.
Why is that?
And it's a contract bet.
Contract bet. That's right.
That's right. Yep. So it must be resolved
mm-hmm.
either to be a winner or a loser.
And the reason it's a contract bet is because they give you such a big advantage for that one roll.
That's
they
right.
go, hey, if it goes to, if you didn't win and it goes to a number, the casino, I'm speaking the casino, we want our chance to win it back. So that's why they say, no, you cannot remove it or reduce that bet. It is there. And now we have the advantage, mm-hmm. as slim as it may be, to win on every roll thereafter for that bet. So
that's right.
That's why they make it a contract, because the big advantage for the very first roll.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they want their chance to win it back with
every preceding
roll.
Can I respond to that then?
Yeah.
What, you know, if you're playing the light side and not laying bets and all without paying VIGs and everything, Are there any numbers that you can pick or think of that are, you know, going to give you the advantage? Because the casino's got the advantage on pretty much all the numbers.
I don't think I understand the question.
So you said they make you stay around because they give you that huge advantage on the first time.
Right.
And then after that first roll, they have the advantage.
Right.
On every other bet on the table, they've got the advantage, right?
Yeah. If we're not talking about don't bet, so like
right.
the don't would be opposite, yeah. where the first roll you're a huge underdog. After that, now you're favored to win on every roll.
Right.
Another bet. No, because a place bet, it's always at the disadvantage. You're always the underdog. You're an underdog better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're either 7-6, 7-5, or 9-5. Well, those aren't the true odds.
Yeah, I know.
You're the six. That's the payoffs. But you're payoffs,
know,
6-5, 3-2.
I got that on the
there you go. You have it in the back, or a 2-1 underdog. But if you're a place better, you're that guy who always bets on the sports team that's the underdog just because it pays more and you're hoping that they upset it. But in reality, you're more likely to lose than win every time you make that bet. Whereas the come bet, always, it has, for the one roll, it has an advantage. So it's very unique in that sense. Mm-hmm. So I would say in that case, for that one roll, if you were allowed to remove it after that one roll, that would be the only way to play. But right. because it is a contract, there is some room for the other bets to kind of, you know, state their case of why they may be a little bit better.
Okay. Okay. So let's continue on. I was going to make a motion for dismissal of the of the case because you say, oh, because after that, they're just a loser. You know, all of them are underdogs.
It's hard to make a case when you're always more likely to lose and always the underdog.
And then how about edge?
Are we
going to talk about that?
We'll get into that in a minute. So you become a contract bet. So one of the benefits and why people like place bets is because you do whatever you want with them. You pick the number. You want them on. You want them off. You want them lowered. You want them raised. Complete control.
Complete control. Do what?
Yeah. Complete control of those bets. So I would say that's a big advantage for a place better.
Now, I have complete control over the odds.
True.
Of my bet.
True.
A big portion of it. So if it's a $10 table and it's 3, 4, 5, you know, it's, you know, 75%, right, on the 4 and the 10. You know, I can't do the math on the 6 and 8 off the top of my head, but $50 versus $10, whatever percentage that is. But that's a, you know, that's a, you know, I can take it off or on if I want to on that.
That's true. The odds bet, yeah, on, off, reduce it, raise it, well, up to the maximum. That would, yeah, we could talk about another disadvantages. It's most tables, so we could talk about payoffs a little bit.
Okay.
Most tables will limit how much odds you can take. So odds, the best bet. I'm not going to argue with you there. But they limit you on most tables to 3 times, 4 times, 5 times odds. Now, when you put a comparable size place bet up against a come bet with odds,
right,
at a 3, 4, 5 times table, a place bet actually will pay you more money.
That is true.
So if you go, hey, I like the, you know, a $10 come bet, and then they only allow me 3 times odds, so $30. Now you got a $40 bet. Mm-hmm. That $40 bet is going to pay less than a $40. Well, you would make it a buy bet, but $40 place bet.
But not by a whole lot, right? Like, take the 4 and 10, for example. $40, 4 and 10 on a buy bet is going to pay what?
9 to 5, 8, 72. Yep, and then so a come bet would be, you would get paid 30, so, or no, 30. You'd get paid 60, 2 to 1.
Yeah, 2 to 1.
60. And then your flat bet wins 10, so you win 70.
So yep. I'm $2 short.
You're $2 short. You would never buy it at $40. You all 4 and 10. So let's make it fair. It would be a buy bet. And in most casinos nowadays, they're automatically buying it.
Okay.
So your 40 is going to pay 80 minus 5% of the bet amount is $2. So
right.
Now we're talking $78 versus $70 for the same bet amount.
Same bet amount. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Here's another thing is a lot of people, and I've made videos of this is, so you make your come bet.
Yep.
The 4 rolls and your bet moves to the 4.
That's right.
Nothing happened. The first roll, my bet was already on the 4. I just got paid $78. Thank you very much. You got paid $0. That's when the 4 rolls the first time. Now the 4 rolls again.
All right, here we go.
You get your $70, okay? Mm-hmm. You get your $70. Nice win, by the way.
Thank you much.
I get paid, again, $78, so that's... I now have $156.
Wow.
You have $70, And if a four rolls again, what happens to you? Nothing, because you're not on the four.
Well, unless you had to make another combat.
Yeah. So it goes to the four, and then you'd have to see the four again.
Now, question.
Yes.
Typically, when the place bettors go, do they just place that four bet? They just place that four? No, they're placing other numbers, right?
I mean, a lot of guys will do across all the numbers,
They'll do across all the numbers. So a patient, humble come better just puts a little bit of his money out at a time. But let's just say he makes
the waters,
$78. But say it's a PSO.
Okay.
And I've got that $30 on the odds, and you've got, you know.
Yeah, if I had $40 on all the numbers.
Yeah, or even if it's. You know, even
or
if
only pick
less,
four numbers,
yeah, pick four.
I'm losing 140, 160, whatever it is, and you've lost. Well, 0.7 out. The point would establish you would have added your odds.
At odds, say I'm doing max
40.
Odds,
yeah, you would have lost 40. On the four. You would have lost your 40, but you would have made another come bet, which would have won 10.
You're right.
So really you're out 30. I'm out 140 plus. Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. So it's a slower pace.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as much action as quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And you limit your losses as you get going.
Yeah, so I mean, because most place bettors, they could play equivalently and just go like, you know what, I'm going to pick one number and put $40. But they don't.
I mean, let's be realistic.
The minimum
is 6 and 8.
Minimum is two numbers or four and ten. Yeah. So and that's why we do it, because we usually place bettors are combos bettors. We want more dice combinations working in our favor as possible. Mm-hmm. And obviously, a 0.7 out, that does not work.
Or even two combets or three combets, three numbers up there. If you've got all the box numbers, how many repeaters do you need, or how many hits do you need to recoup those six numbers across the box?
Typically three. You need to hit half of them.
Yeah.
You know, if you're hitting the outsides that pay a little better, a little less, but if you bet six numbers, which I think a lot, I don't know if four numbers is real common inside.
Inside. Sure.
So you need two to three hits for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the come better, he may not hit any of them all, you know,
that's
the four
true.
With odds, the six with odds, the nine with odds,
and then bam.
Seven. Yeah. And then it all comes down. So
yeah, I think that, And I hate to quote other people's work here.
Okay.
I just feel like the average come better, and those of us, I might be speaking to one or two people out there, who knows, maybe three or four who actually do it with me, but most players tend to be place bettors. And every one of the old books that I've read, They have different thoughts on that. The older books seem to say things like on page 36, and I memorize this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm where's my glasses so I can read this thing?
A lot of the older guys, yes, they definitely seem to regurgitate the same thing
same
for
stuff.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Same stuff. So one of my favorite quotes is on page 36 of the Tambourine book, Take the Money and Run, when it comes to craps. And he says on here, crap shooters make place bets because they are impatient and greedy.
Yeah, I don't know about the greedy part.
Are place bettors impatient?
To a degree, maybe they could be impatient. I would say they prefer the action. But there are reasons. Like, we get to pick our number. They pay better. That's just a fact. They pay more money.
Until you get to 10 times, right? Or no, until you get to 5 times on.
Yeah,
five
if there's a table that allows 5 times the numbers,
mm-hmm.
or 10 times the numbers, 20 times on it, yes, come bet. If you add that many in odds, will you do surpass the place bet if you're making equivalent size bets?
That's right.
And you're better off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until that, if you're only betting 3 times, 2 times, you know, a lot of players can only afford 2 times odds.
Right.
And mathematically, we can get to house edge here in a little bit, but that's still an amazing bet at 2 times odds,
mm-hmm.
but you get paid more with a place bet. You just do. That's just, and I think that's kind of a conspiracy of why the tables are 3, 4, 5 times odds, because they the casino trains you. If you go to a casino, they will tell you, hey, make that come bet and add odds. Why does the casino always teach you that?
Because that's the best bet in the casino, Jeremy.
And they will tell you it is the best bet in the casino. You should always make that, and you should always max out your odds. There's a couple things they leave out of that is that it makes no difference if you play odds or not. Mathematically, if you're talking about mathematics,
okay,
it doesn't make a difference. And this blows a lot of people's mind. But a come-better who makes no odds and a come-better who adds, let's go to a table that allows 20 times odds.
Woo!
After a year, they will lose the same exact amount of money, which is 1.4% of the flat bet.
That's right.
Yeah. Because the odds, they just pay true. So the only thing the odds bet does is it lowers the house edge of your combined, those two bets together.
Together.
It lowers it. But the bets by itself, it just pays true odds. So it doesn't do anything. It's a wash for the player. It's a wash for the casino. All it does is increase the player's volatility. Because if you bet more, you're going to win more, or you're going to lose more.
You're going to lose more. That's right.
The problem I have with that is the casino, they're in it for the long haul. They aren't going bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And you, as a player, if you bet more volatile and you get in a bad streak and you're doing 20 times odds and you keep losing them, you're going to run out of money quicker. And if the casino goes on a bad streak where they're losing to the player, they don't care. They'll get it back tomorrow or the next day. They're not going anywhere. So that's a little bit of the problem. It adds a lot of odds, add a lot of volatility to your bet. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing the casino does not tell you. So I do try to tell players, hey, it doesn't matter if you add odds. It's a great additional bet. That's the key word. If you want to add more money to your bet, odds is the way to do it. But the bet itself, mathematically, in the end, if you believe in math, you're going to lose the exact same amount. The guy with no odds and the guy with 100 times odds. So a lot of people don't understand that or grasp that. And they're always like, you got to play max odds. Do you? No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Okay. No, all it does is increase your volatility.
And hey, Jeremy, this might be a good point to remind everybody, if you got any questions or anything, we will take them
in our monster roll.
If we see something that stands out, we'll
get to maybe, but yeah, we'll keep trying to go through this and get most of it out. We may answer some of your questions
as we go.
Let's see what else do you got for an advantage, because I'm not seeing a lot of advantage except for the very first roll. It pays
first
less
roll,
you have no control
advantage.
Their contract.
Well, hold on, let's go back to that contract thing, because another great advantage of this wonderful, wonderful bet for one roll, but for the preceding rolls, is if a point is hit on the next come out roll while my come bets are up there, if a 7 were to roll, big red were to show its ugly head, then yes, I would lose my comeback.
Yeah, if you have three come bets up there, they would all lose, right?
All three would lose, but I would get my odds returned to me because the odds are off on the come out roll.
By default, the odds are off, so they would return. Whoop-de-doo. Place bets are also off by default. You would lose nothing. Where the come better, he loses his come bets. So do you want a come out 7? If you're a come better, you have 3 come bets up, and now it's a new game. You're out on the pass line. Do you want a 7 to show?
Jeremy, I'm going to look into that camera right there, and I'm going to say, I'm looking for an 11.
Amen, brother.
I'm looking for an 11.
The problem is, no longer do you have the 2-to-1 amazing advantage.
It's not 2-to-1, but I got a shot.
You got a shot. Yeah, you got a 1-in-18 shot of winning with the 11, because you don't want – now you're the underdog, because the 2's bad, the 3's bad, the 12's bad, and the 7's bad. The 7 is no longer helpful
on the pass line. The 2 is not going to hurt me, right? On the with my
no, the Cumbets, yeah, those guys only lose the seven. Yeah, but we're talking, the pass line, 2-3 and 12 is bad versus the one number that's good for you, the 11.
Hey.
But the bad number, now you've added six combos that will knock off all your Cumbets. Yes, you will win your pass line, but if you have existing Cumbets, they're all going to lose. So
say I had three. If I had three up there and I win the pass line and I lose three, it's really only losing two.
That's true. That's true. You're losing two.
Everybody always forgets that.
You're losing two Cumbets.
It's hedging, Jeremy.
The place better loses zero. Okay. Yes. So you're willing. But the fact is, we talk about this big first roll advantage. It literally is only the very first roll, because after that, and you have Cumbets, you no longer want the seven, just like the place better. You never want to see it again.
Nobody wants
it. It's
seven.
Never helpful.
Yeah, you're right.
It becomes a useless, unhelpful number for the rest of the time playing. Until all your bets are down and you completely restart, because you don't want to see the seven even as a Cumbetter. No,
but even Superman has kryptonite, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. So there's holes in the armor, but it's a great slow steady way to play.
Yeah,
and you let the dice pick the numbers. You don't have that pressure.
Yeah, you've said this before. You're repeating arguments.
Just let the dice, because you can think, you can hunch, you can hope. Mm-hmm. But the dice are going to do what the dice are going to do.
That's true. Yeah, for me, I'm going to go up on the 6 and 8, because there's 10 ways to roll those guys.
Yes, there are.
Or the 5 through 9, because now I have all half dice combinations, while your Cumbet that you have no choice over goes to the 4.
No choice.
Three combos. Hey, that's how I play. I would rather take my chances with combos, and you're over there stuck with whatever number that the dice gods give you, and good luck with that. Okay. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. There's certainly a reason why it is one of my standards and why I always show it at the end of my videos. Mm-hmm. One, because all the professionals say this is the way to play. And I think this might be a segue to how we get into the math where.
Yes. Go to the.
I don't have a whole lot to combat you with on the math. this is. Place betting, Cumbetting with odds mathematically would be the way to go. And that's why I call it a standard. Mm-hmm. And then I run a don't standard, which is the exact opposite. So you'll see they're technically almost always completely opposite. Depends on how the dice roll. You're either going to have a good day, or a bad day, whether you bet the don't or the pass, because they're just opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of anything else. So I can... My bets are completely flexible. I win on the very first time that the number rolls. They pay more than Cumbets with odds. Certainly seems like enough advantages to me already, but we'll continue.
But don't forget, you put a lot of them out there. At least maybe. 4 inside.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 if you're going extreme inside.
Yeah.
I like my 10 combinations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes it is a little more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's go the math. The math for the Cumbetter is pretty easy.
Yes.
1.4, 1%. I won't get into, there's a difference between bets made and bets resolved. So sometimes you'll see the house edge says 1.35 or 1.41, kind of technicality, but how most people, that's if you make the bet and then. Anyway, it's bet resolved 1.41%. That's the math.
That's what I got. So yeah. 1.41.
The odds is just 0. So add as many as you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
It just pays fair. So there's no house edge there. I mentioned before, as you combine it, it actually lowers the combined bet. So if you have a $10 bet on the come, it's 1.4. If you add odds of $10, now combined, I don't know the numbers. I think it goes down to 0.8%. I don't know if you have it broken down.
Talking about for which one?
As you add odds?
Yeah, it continues to drop the overall between the two. And it depends on how many in odds you add.
Right. So I think it's singles odds. It might be 0.8. I think double odds might be 0.5%.
And then once you get up, if you get up to 10 times or 20 times, 100
significant
times,
it's down, 100 times I think it's 0.002%.
A coin flip.
Yeah, it's a coin flip. But again, can you afford $10 and then 1,000 in odds behind it every time? I mean, that's what we're talking. We're talking about a $1,010 bet to get down there. It's essentially a coin flip. Cool. If you get, you know, you're a millionaire and you like, if you want to do it, yeah, it might be a fun game for you. But yeah, for most people, even so, the place bet does pay more until you're above 3, 4, 5 times odds. But if you do like the come bets and you make just 2 times odds, so if you're like, man, I feel comfortable, $10 bet or a lot of tables are $15 bet and 2 times odds, so I'm going to add another $30. So I'm at, so I'm in the $30 to $45 range per bet. I'm comfortable there. I think it's like a 0.5% house edge. That's what, so the, it's a very amazing, that is way lower than anything else you can get in all the other games. Better than Baccarat, better than blackjack, you know.
Better than the place bet too, right?
Oh, well, we haven't got to the place bet significantly better than place bet. If you're talking about math, if you say, you know what, I'm going to, you know, because blackjack players do this. Based on the math of the game, you play perfect strategy. You get the house edge under 1%, or if you can card count, you could actually turn it positive.
Wow.
And the players, and that's why they'll kick you out of the casino for doing that. So they don't allow that, or now they have automatic shufflers. They don't want that. But they do allow you still to play mathematically, technically perfect, according to the math. It's like 1% or below 1%, a little bit below 1%, but you could beat that with a come bet and double odds. You can get even lower than blackjack. So it's a great game mathematically.
Now, can I say one other thing in case there's anybody new out there listening?
Yeah.
When you say the house edge, it's a great bet and all, what's the house edge? How do you explain that to beginners?
House edge is what the casino expects to keep from each bet that's made.
Okay.
It's just the percentage of the bet they're keeping. It's their commission, their VIG, their whatever. So they know if you make a come bet and double odds, they know they're at least getting 0.5%. It's not much out of that, $30 bet or a $45 bet. They know they're getting 0.5% of that. No matter if you win, if you lose, they take it all. But even if you win, that's why you can't beat the casino. Because even if you win, they're not going to pay you everything that's due you. They're going to keep the 0.5%. So that's why it, you know, which is great. But if you have a bad bet that's, you know, 10%, you think about a bet that's 10%. So if you lose, they take it all. If you win, they go, you know what? We're going to pay you, but we're going to shave off 10%. That's our house edge.
We're going to give you 90%.
Yeah, we're going to pay you 90% of what you should get paid. We're going to shave off 10. So you go, dang, 10%. That's not a good bet. That is correct. You talk about slot machines, they typically shave off about 10 to 15%.
Wow.
So that's why it's not a good bet. Roulette. Double zero roulette here in America is most popular. It's over 5%. No matter if you win, they're keeping 5%. So that's the house edge. It's just built in of what they short you on what you should be paid. So obviously the lower you can get that, the better off you are. You know, it's just like anything, like low, I want a low interest rate on my house mortgage or whatever.
Because
you don't want the, you don't want your money going to the bank. You want to keep as much as possible. So that's, it's kind of similar to that. So it's how much they're shaving off the top before they pay you.
And that's pretty important in the game of craps and in gambling in general, correct?
This is where I can argue with you a little bit.
All right.
So for the casino, they cannot lose because they're, again, I said they either take it all from the player or even if you win, they get, they're shaving off.
That's right.
Right. So they're getting theirs. They don't care if you win or lose, they're getting theirs. Now, 0.5% doesn't sound like much, but it adds up thousands of players, thousands of hours over time, so it makes a big deal. For the player, is there a difference between 0.5% and a 2% house edge? That's the big question.
And the answer in most economics classes is it depends.
Yeah, it depends. So the longer and the more you play, yes, it doesn't make sense to make 2% bets when you can get a 0.5% bet. Always. It's like, why would you play 6-5 blackjack for those who know the numbers when you can get a 3-2 blackjack? It just doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So you always want the better math in your favor if you can. But that's based off of this. This is all theoretical math that's based off of infinity.
Okay.
The casino is going to be around for infinity. So they can actually calculate that and go, you know what? We're going to win some. We're going to lose some. But I guarantee you it's going to even out at the end of the year or whatever. And they can count on, hey, we're getting our shavings. We're getting our little piece. The player is going to play once a month. Maybe once a week. Maybe they're playing 3-4 hours. They got to get lucky, Jim. So I'm going to embarrassedly talk about how bad place bet house edge is, but either the 5 is going to roll and it's not. So either, and okay, let me tell you, the 5 and 9, 4% house edge. That's real bad when you compare it to a come better who went to the 5 and his is 0.5%, right? So 20 times as bad, I guess. I don't know the math on that, but
it's pretty significant. It's
very significant, but that
we're not there for infinity.
Right. If both of our bets go to 5 and after, you know, we both agree, hey, once this game's over, we're going to go home. Either the 5 is going to roll and I'm going to win and get paid more, by the way, or you're going to win and get paid, or we're both going to lose our complete bet. We're both going to lose $30. Mm-hmm. So you go, where's this house? Where's this magical house edge? I technically lost 4%. You technically lost 0.5%, but we don't see it.
Right. We're both zeros.
Yeah. We either won our bet or we both lost the bet. So the math really only comes into a factor over multiple rolls and multiple resolutions and multiple times in the plane. So that's why, yes, if you're worried about the math and you think it is a deal, and you know, the mathematicians
if you think math is real, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Believe the science, trust the science.
Yeah. I would say science, you shouldn't be trusted. We won't get into that conversation, right. But science is supposed to be questioned. That is the whole definition of science. Okay. But the math is the math, and it can be proven that if you play for 100 years, the come bet, you're only going to lose, you know, 1.4 if you add odds,
percent.
Let me put it this way. If you're a come better, play odds. There's no reason to play a come bet flat necessarily. I mean, if you're going to make that bet and get paid less, you can't have control of it. You might as well add odds so you can get the mathematical, because that's the only thing I've heard out of your conversation that you have the advantage on is you're patient.
Yeah.
And the math is in your favor.
I don't have as much money at risk at any given time, right?
The long-term math is at your favor. The short-term math, we just discussed. We're both trying to get lucky. So, yeah, the long-term math, though, is in your favor. But when do we hit that long-term math? In my opinion, we as players, we just don't hit it. So, yeah, place bet. 4 and 10, 6.6%. Very bad bet. 4 and 10 place bet. That's why you want to buy it.
You want to buy it,
but you can't buy it till $20 most places. But then it's one something percent. I think it's 1.67%, something like that. Significant. It goes from a bad bet to a good bet. Don't place bet the 4 and 10 unless you have to. 5 and 9. It's very rare that you can buy it. So it's 4% house edge. It's just what the 5 and 9 is. Everyone place bets the 5 and 9. Technically, it's not a bad bet. It's better than roulette. You're still better at beating house edge on roulette. But on the craps table, there's a lot more better bets. If you're worried about the math, you should not be making place bets on the 5 and 9. And then the 6 and 8 is actually... That's why most players play the 6 and 8. So not only do you get a lot of great dice combinations, but the house edge is only 1.52% versus 1.41%. you're talking about a dime for every $100 bet difference.
Yeah, that's
very good bet.
Full disclosure, as a come bet lover, if I can get up a little bit, you know, the first two numbers that, and usually the only numbers that I'll ever place.
Very smart play. So if you're worried about math, that's what I say. And I kind of mix it up. A lot of times I'll start with a 6 and 8, and then I might make come bets to replace them, or I'll buy like the 4 and 10 again, because you can get that house edge down and they're good mathematical bets. So if you're worried about the math, come bets and odds, 6 and 8, very acceptable. A lot of people talk about the 2% rule. If you keep the house edge below 2%, you're playing a pretty darn good game. Compared to rest of, you know, the casino and all the games they offer. So yes, come bets, technically long edge, a long game. You do have the advantage according to the myth, which is funny because that's all the game it revolves around. But
Right.
But yeah, you're either going to win or lose that bet. Come on. You're not. There's no difference between 2% and your 0.5% bet. Come on. Get out of here with your stinking math.
Okay. All right. I'm backing
because you're not. Guess what? With all this math, the math ain't math, and you're not beating the casino. So
and neither are you.
That's true.
Neither are you.
So we're both getting lucky. Either I'm going to overcome my 4% edge or you're going to overcome your 0.5% edge. But guess what? Neither of us are pulling off some miraculous bet to beat the casino. It just ain't happening. Unless you're card counting in blackjack.
And then, yeah, you have the advantage.
As far as I know, that's the only game. There are a couple situations where if you play coupons or video poker. But yeah, blackjack is really the only game that you can... You find a broken wheel in roulette, but the game of craps, there's no way to gain. So you can lower it as much as you want. Like we talked about, 100 times odds, right? That $1,010 bet, 0.002%.
You can lose on that one too.
Yeah. And over time, you're never going to beat the casino because they always scrape. They always scrape that.
Get a little bit of something. Yeah, got to pay for the lights and... The employees and the...
And they're not doing too bad, right? That's why each one's more beautiful than the next, right?
Yes.
Because it is a very good business. But a lot of it is, you know, they would not be around if it was just like blackjack, baccarat, and come bets and odds, right? They don't make their living off of that. I don't know what the math is off the top of my head for craps, but the average casino hold... is like 12% or something. And you go, whoa, how in the world does the casino keep 12% whenever there's bets that are 0.5%, 1%, 2% and craps?
Right.
Because going back to the patience, a lot of these players, they throw the money in the middle where you get 11%, 14%, 16%. You
ATS,
do these side
20%
bets,
or whatever,
20%.
Yeah.
And the players love it. No patience, more action. And so the casino's collecting way more than 1%, 2%. They're collecting over 10%. It's incredible. But yeah, they wouldn't be as fancy as they were if players were patient and they stuck to the good games and the good bets. But nah, we just like to have a good time and why not?
You know, so. the other defense I will say on the come betters is, you know, we always say the place better said, well, you got to hit your number twice, right? That's what everybody says. You got to hit your number twice to get paid. And I've already gotten paid. But usually the place betters, you know, they're what? Pressing their bets. Mm-hmm. A lot of them. A lot of them are. You know, they're not collecting.
They're putting more money up at risk.
They're putting more money in there. So they're, you know, are you really any different than me? If you want, do you want that number coming back? You know, say you get two or three hits and you press up. Have you really gained anything? It's better to be a little patient, but everybody's got different ways of thinking about it.
No, it's a good point. Press bettors, they're not collecting on the first hit. Sometimes not even on the second. Some of them keep pressing and wait for like a third hit because they want the home run, right? So, yeah, I mean, there are different ways.
So, in addition to having more money at the table at risk. And then if they do win on a couple of them and they press them or three hits, they want the home run. You know, it's a slow, patient way to play.
And yeah, no, it does. It has built in money management, like stop time, gaps or time, whatever.
Whatever you want to call it.
Whereas, you know, a place better, if they are not disciplined and controlled, they could be a little wild and can get out of control. Certainly can. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it works out in their favor. They get lucky, and guess what? They can bump it up too, and then they hit it on the third time, and they're like, "Woohoo! My $10 bet is now 80, and I just hit it." So,
yes, I
mean, that's the gamble part. But you could do the same with come bets and odds. You know, you increase your come bet,
increase the base,
increase the base, and you can add more odds. So, they both have advantages and disadvantages, and that's why I tongue-in-cheek make videos saying that I hate come bets. But the reality is, it depends on your personality and how you like to play. There, one way is not better than the other. It just depends on how you like to play, I think. And I would say that the come better probably more of a more disciplined player. The place better is more of a gambler. I don't know.
I mean, we're both gambling. If you play, you're gambling. But with how much and how much action do you want at the table? That's the one thing I've noticed. And, you know, we didn't talk about the center bets too much and all. But, you know, there's people who want to have action on every roll. That's why the Iron Cross has such a great fascination, because any number and you can win. Or I think you just came out with a video this week on Crapless Craps, and any number but the bad number wins,
right?
You know, and that was a fun one. I watched that, and I was, the whole time I'm watching, I was like, there's a lot of money out there. A lot of money out there, you know. But, you know, to each his own. You know,
exactly.
You know, that's
and exactly. And please don't be those people who criticize how other people, because guess what? You are not a craps professional. You're not doing this for a living. Neither is the guy next to you. So to say, to judge him and say, come bets, odds? No. Mm-hmm. I'd rather get paid the first time it hits. I'd rather have flexibility. I'd rather get paid more. You know, all the advantages of the place bet. But on any given night, just been to, the guy with come bets and odds could clean the clock of the place better, and vice versa. So, you know, I would just say let the man next to you or woman play however they prefer to play, because you are no genius. No one is beating this game except for the casino itself. So let the person play.
You know, and we're all rooting for the same team, right? We're happy when we win as a group. For the most of the people, and what would you say, 90% of the people, they're playing on the light side, and we're all cheering. That's why they're
as long as numbers roll,
yes, the table's erupting.
Four, yeah. I mean, the come better and the place better. Four, yes. Five, yes. Six, yes. So,
and I admit, as a come better, sometimes when I only have three numbers out there,
and you're missing out.
Else, the other ones are hitting. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, you feel like you're, you know, I don't know, dodging bullets, or the bullets are dodging you, or they're hitting you instead of hitting the numbers.
I do want to add one last thing. Would be a lot of people, you talk about having three bets up there. That's most commonly called the three-point Molly. Mm-hmm. And there is no really rhyme or reason to why you would stop at three. That's kind of like a built-in just safeguard for yourself, right? So you get three bets with odds, and you stop and let some resolve, because mathematically it doesn't matter whether you make one or continuously make them. Mm-hmm. So you could just forever keep making come bets and fill up all six numbers with odds and then keep going. And if the roll's long, hey, even better for you. If the roll's ends on roll seven, which is close to the average, not so good, because then you fill up every number. So most people have kind of said, you know what, a good balance is three come bets with odds, because you get good action, couple numbers, you're still being patient, but you're not like, it's not all out there and covering all the numbers. So there is no technical reason to stop at three. It's just kind of a good traditional number that people stop. Some people will only do two.
Okay.
Right? And if you want to play four, play four. Mathematically, it doesn't make a difference. You want to play all six and keep going, keep going endlessly forever.
Same thing with a place better, right? It can do all six box numbers.
Or just one or two, or just one.
Whatever they're doing, yeah.
Yeah. So why three? It's not magic. It's just
money,
a good
money management check,
reason.
Whatever,
that's why, yeah. So good money management reason for place betters is four numbers, whether it's the outside or the inside or whatever, or combination. A lot of them. I don't see it a whole bunch of people cover all six. So they might cover four, and if they win some, then cover
then
the spread. But
yeah, the spread.
Yeah. And again, you can mix and match. So like Jim said, is sometimes, you know, he's got profit and he doesn't have the six or eight, he can
I'll place it, bet.
So you can do that. You can mix and match, and that's what's so cool about this game. I don't know if we have a verdict. We can leave the audience.
Yeah, they can make their decision. But what I was going to say is sometimes when I make those place bets on those come bets, if things are going well, once the place bets hit, I'll use that, the winnings from the place bets, for the odds.
Odds bet, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I like to do that too. A lot of times 6 and 8 come bet,
yep.
If it hits, guess what? That place bet just paid
odds,
for my odds.
Three,
yeah,
four, yeah, that's yeah. right. Get it up.
Down with odds and and cool. Good conversion there. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think we've kind of wrapped this up. You want to go ahead and maybe list off your final, what do you call it when you're in the courtroom? Your
closing arguments.
Your closing argument for a comebet, Jim, and then I'll do my
closing. So my closing arguments for the comebet are, it's a very patient way to play. Mathematically, if you believe in the math and like the math, it's a nice way to play. Yes, there are, I will admit, some people say disadvantages, if you will, to not being able to turn off your bets, although I don't see a lot of place bettors doing that all the time, unless the dice go off the table, which is tragedy. it's just a different way to play. It's fun. It's autopilot. The dealers look out for you. Everybody's on the same page. You can add the dealer as a dealer bet, just like the place bets, and do that. So, Is it magical? No. Is it a guaranteed? No. Have I been at the table when the place bettors have won? Absolutely. Have I been at the table and won when the place bettors sometimes lose? Sometimes. And then there's other times when everybody's winning. And that's why we play, because we're hoping for that long run to have those outliers out there. So, yeah, it's a nice way to play. You get a little rebate if you get three come bets up and then come out seven rolls. You get your... get your rebate. But other than that, yeah, it's not a bad way to play. It's fun for me, and it's very simple. So that's my closing argument. I lay my case.
Rest your case, yes.
Rest the
okay.
case, not lay.
Gentlemen and ladies of the jury, I present to you the closing argument for the place better. Sure, mathematically, maybe not as good as a comebet, but I would argue the math does not matter when you're playing for a couple hours or for the weekend. Throw that advantage out. So the math doesn't matter in the short term for us as players. We got to get lucky. So if we're going to get lucky, I want to be able to pick what numbers. And with place bets, you can pick the numbers. You choose whatever number you like, the ones that have the better combinations or the ones that pay better. But the great thing about place bets is you get to choose. Not only do you get to choose which numbers, you get to increase them, you get to decrease them. If you got a funny feeling and the dice go off the table, you just pull your bets off, unlike the come better. So he can't do anything. He's stuck with those bets. And so not only that, do you have full control over these bets. They pay every time the number rolls. You don't have to wait for moving bets to travel and then get paid and then reset it again. They get paid on the first hit and every hit that you leave your bets up. They get paid more than in an equivalent size come bet with odds. Until you're above 5%, let's say, across all the numbers. But a 3, 4, 5 times table, you just get paid more. That's just a mathematical fact if we're talking about math. And lastly, it's more fun to play place bets. You get to pick your numbers, other people, and you look like a genius whenever you go, you know what, give me the 4 and the 9 and then 4 and 9 roll and the come better. He don't even get to choose. He's playing a mindless game. In this game, I get to choose as a place better.
Your honor, move to strike. Mindless players. That's a personal insult.
Now, sustained, probably sustained, yeah. Probably not overruled there. Yeah, you probably, sustained. That would probably, I probably would not be allowed to say that, that you're mindless. I would say the place better gets to use their mind more because they're picking and choosing, and they can go off past history if they like. They can
look
go
for
off
trends.
Look for trends, have a
control
gut feeling,
the dice.
Control the dice. There's a lot of stuff
all
in favor. So with that, I would say the place better is just a cooler craps player. And with that, I rest my case. All right, good episode today, Jim.
Back at you.
Yeah, I think that was a fun topic, and we will get back to another episode next weekend. Our regular time is 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yep.
Sunday nights, powered here by Sports Grid. You can find us on all your favorite podcasting apps. I think we're everywhere now, podcast, Spotify, and all the other things that it trickles out to beyond those. So definitely, I just looked. We've got like 6 5-star reviews. So go in there, leave us some feedback, give us a 5-star review if you'd like the show. And what we do after the show now is we head to the Monster Roll and check out what the viewers have to say and maybe give us a verdict, how we did.
Yeah, let's see.
Jim had an assumption that maybe, you know, there are more place bettors. I don't know.
I think there are 90-95%.
Maybe I don't know 90%. I don't know if it'd be that high, but
it's pretty high. It's not a lot of come betters.
Not a lot of patient players. Let's be honest.